Show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Welcome back to the program, tuned in to the Bucket Strategy Investing Show. It's my favorite show, and I'm sure it's Professor Plum's as well. Another hour is looming ahead as we get ready to give you more of the best in money information, taking your calls, etc. Professor Rick Plum joins me. I'm Johnny Dean. We're here from Lucia Capital Group. Naturally, we got a whole lot of things to talk about this hour, including some stuff from last hour involving the 4% rule and strategy and all that. We should have a moment to get to it, but your chance to call in with your money questions is right now. Several lines open right now, and the Brain Trust is ready, standing by for you. You got a money, strategy, question, comment, concern, or if you just want to discuss what your options might be at retirement, that's another thing you could do. You just grab your phone, you give us a call at this number, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. You can also send us your email questions or your email comments. We've gotten through quite of those so far today. You go to wealthed.com, our website, click on the Find Your Answer link. You type us your question, you send it to us, and we will answer. That's what we do here on this program every single day. Wealth education, that's what we try to provide to you every day, and I think we do it very well. You can also contact the Brain Trust off the air. Maybe you're shy, you don't want to call, at Lucia Capital Group, Dr. Professor Plum, or any of the Brain Trust advisors at 800-644-1150. We thank them for sponsoring this program, by the way. You've got the opportunity at WealthEd, Lucia Capital Group, to meet with a Brain Trust advisor, go over your individual situation. You should know what all your options are. Don't leave anything off the table. And you know that the Brain Trust is there to help you out every step of the way. And they're available to you through a single point of contact. That's Professor Plum or any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors. You can reach them at 800-644-1150, the off-air number. On the air, 877-PLANNER. I do have a couple of lines open, but Professor Plum, we have some folks on hold, so we're going to get right into the calls. Again, 877-752-6637. Starting off the hour with Kevin in Poway, California. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, morning, guys. Glad to be talking to you.
Oh, nice to talk to you. How can we help you?
Yeah, you know, when we're in retirement, and so far life is very good and may it continue, when we have to spend down from our cash side, from our traditional, our Roth IRA, from our investments, and taking care of the tax element, what is the best way? Is it to stick mainly drain down your cash and then go to your investments, take a little out of cash, take a little bit out of the Roth, take a little bit out of the traditional, sell some stocks? How should one be thinking of it?
Well, there is no simple answer to that because everybody's going to be different. It depends on whether you've got Social Security and pensions, whether you've got majority IRA, a little bit of everything. So it's very dependent on you and your overall spending. One of the things we look to do is put assets that create ordinary income, interest primarily, bonds, real estate, passive income investments, things that create taxable ordinary income. Rather than own them personally, we try to own them inside of our IRAs when we're retired, because then the income that's coming from that particular investment is being taxed the same way as it would have been if I owned it personally, except for now it's helping me satisfy my required minimum distribution. I don't give up anything owning them inside the IRA, whereas assets that create qualified dividends, or there's a large return of principal component to it, or it's a long-term capital gain, ultimately a step-up in basis, if possible, I like to own those inside my personal monies, my non-IRA type monies. The Roth is a wild card, and it really depends a little bit on how big the Roth is compared to the overall portfolio. A lot of times we see people that have, you know, call it million-dollar portfolios, and their Roths combined between husband and wife make up $30,000. Well, in that case, it's really not going to do you guys that much good, so we invested for growth to pass on the largest potential tax-free amount to the kids as we can. Other people, I've seen as much as $600,000 in Roth IRAs. And in that case, putting whatever gives us the highest taxable investment, putting it inside the Roth gives us the highest tax-free investment. So it's very different depending upon what's going on and where we are on the income scale, subject to Social Security taxation, the Medicare surtax, the net investment income tax, the tax bracket we're dealing with. So tell me a little bit about yourself. You are retired now, yes?
Yes, we're retired nicely.
And how, where, what incomes do you, Social Security, pensions, what incomes do you have not from the portfolio?
We have Social Security.
How much?
I would say a good amount, both of us. I'm reluctant to draw numbers out over the air, guys.
Okay, then it's, I can't tell you how to do your, we can help you off the air then. But the idea is, let's say you had, let's just call it $30,000. I know that's not your number, I'm making it up. And you had, and you needed $60,000 to live. So you need another 30 from the portfolio. In many respects, I'm gonna wanna take at least a good chunk of that money from the IRA, even though I may not be 70 and a half, because I can take it out and pay no income taxes on it.
Question.
Yeah.
What about taking a part of it from your bucket number one, cash side?
Now we're confusing assets, investments, with tax planning. The money I'm going to take out, whether it be coming from the alternative bucket or the cash bucket, that, you know, that we're going to do the asset allocation first, and then we're going to put the asset location layer on top of it. Now, it also depends on if I'm taking it from my cash account, my bucket number one, and I have majority IRA money, I may use personal money in my bucket number one, which creates very little taxation. I mean, if I have $100,000 and I'm taking $15,000 a year out of it in a bank account, you know, it's earning 5 cents a month or so in interest, I'm spending my own principal, which creates no income tax. It satisfies my monthly bills. But what that does is it allows me room in my tax bracket to convert traditional IRA, bucket number three probably, over to Roth IRA. So by the time I get out to my required minimum distribution area, then I've got the ability to basically satisfy the required minimum distribution fairly easily with what my withdrawal would be to live off of, because my IRA has come down in value. But it is very dependent upon how the structure of the portfolio is currently. And I, when I say structure of portfolio, I don't mean the assets, I don't mean the investments, I mean how much in Roth, how much in tax-deferred IRA, 401k types of plans do we have, how much in personal accounts do we have. That mix is then layered on top of, okay, I need bucket number one, which is gonna be a fairly low-earning, safe-type investment. I need, you know, now we look at where do we buy the allocation. Where do we put the investments within the portfolio to give ourselves the tax planning we need? We've already done the asset planning. We've already done the risk management planning. Now let's do the tax planning. And you layer it on top of each other.
Let me tell you, your original statement of saying it's kind of complicated.
But it's fun.
It's raining all these complications down.
But this is the fun part of it.
It's a puzzle.
It is a puzzle. And unfortunately, there is no picture to go off of in creating this puzzle. There are
right.
no rules that say always do this and always do this. And it can morph. And you could have a similar situation as somebody else, and your puzzle will be done differently than them because they have different emotional goals. And
gotcha.
So it's that's the fun part.
Would it be one thing that I thought I got out of here is that the RMDs in your traditional, when you take that out, that helps to satisfy income needs as
yes.
well as tax needs. So the traditional IRA has that little tweak to it that should be considered, among other things, in
Very
my
much.
Situation, my question.
The required minimum distribution is part of the strategic planning when we talk about asset location. Even though we may not be 70 and a half yet, we may only be 60, 61, 62, we've got several years, we want to look at it in the future and say, how do we avoid the ticking time bomb that would happen if all I do is live off my personal money and don't touch anything in my IRA until I'm 70 and a half? And now I get to 70 and a half and I don't have very much personal money left, I've spent it, and all I have left is IRAs and all my Social Security, and now everything's taxable. If I could have been taking a little early, or converting, those are two different options within the plan, then I could have been lower on the required minimum distributions, have more strategic planning going forward. It doesn't change the investments necessarily, but it does change where I buy those investments.
That's part of what I guess asset location. Kevin, I got to take a break in a second. If you want to hold on.
I'm full. My cup is overflowing, so I'm going to thank you and say hasta la vista, guys.
Thank you,
Kevin. All right. We can talk to him a little bit later. This is another big topic we talk about all the time. Location of assets. Yes, allocation, you need to allocate them. But there's an even bigger thing that goes around that, which has to do with asset location, and it's just as important.
And a lot of people focus on the allocation, which is a very important part of the overall strategy.
But you can't miss the other part of it.
But it's only part of the strategy, because taxes do play a part. And, you know, people are worried about the required minimum distributions. Well, unless you never need to draw any money out of your portfolio, the required minimum distribution shouldn't be a huge problem. It should be part of the strategy, and you should be looking at it as, hey, I've got to get my income from someplace. I need my portfolio to provide income. I know I'm going to have to do required minimum distributions. Instead of having them butt heads against each other, let's put them together and make them work together.
This is complicated, but that's why we're here, to help you out. Don't try it all by yourself, folks. I think it's nuts. All right, Marcia and Flagstaff, do not go away. That's an order, a direct order to you from me, because we're going to answer your question when we come back. Just a couple of minutes here, and we still have, we have two lines open, 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Blum from Lucia Capital Group. We're back right after this. Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum here from Lucia Capital Group, talking to you about your money, answering your money questions, and doing it very, very well, I might add. It's all about strategy here on this program. We will be talking more strategy. Maybe if we can, as I said, 4% rule, is that a good idea? Is it strategy behind it that's a problem? We'll try to cover that if we have time, but naturally, we're here for you, all right? We're here to answer your questions, your money questions, at 877-PLANNER. You can give us a call, talk to us, 877-752-6637. Email's coming up again shortly as well at wealthed.com. Let's move along next to Marcia, Flagstaff, Arizona. Hello, Marcia.
Well, hello. Who am I talking to?
You got the professor and Johnny Dean.
Oh, I've got the professor too?
Yes.
I'm right here, yes.
Of course.
I'm going to ask a question. If my kids hear me, they're going to find a place for mom, all right.
Oh, well, let's see what you got first.
Okay. I don't know why I thought of this. Say my husband, God forbid, passes away, and he's got his IRA money with Lucia Capital, which he does. We do.
Okay.
Anyway, he passes away. What do I do with his IRA money?
Well, probably continue with the same type of plan that you had in place for the two of you. It depends on what's going on. I mean, what you're going to end up doing, are you older or younger than he is?
I'm younger. He's 83. I'm 74.
What you'll do is you'll want to continue. You'll have to finish.
RMD.
You'll have to finish the required minimum distribution for him for that year if it hasn't already been satisfied. And then you'll roll the rest of the money over to an IRA in your name. And you can keep the same investments. You can keep everything exactly as it was before. It's just that now, instead of it being titled in your husband's name as his IRA, it'll be titled in your name as your IRA. And you'll be able to reset the beneficiaries to whoever you want to have on that. And then you don't have to sell anything. You can just transfer the assets in kind from his to yours as your IRA. And then keep taking the money out, because now you have your RMD. It won't be as large as his RMD because you're younger than he is, and everything will work just fine.
You mean it won't be as large to take out the RMD?
No, the RMD for an 80-year-old is more than the RMD for a 70-year-old. Every year, the percentage is slightly higher.
Right.
And so you said you were younger by several years, and so the you know, if it's $100,000, the RMD for him may be, you know, $5,800, but it may only be $4,800 for you.
Or whatever,
you know,
the number
is. I sure miss Chris Lloyd. He was the cutest little southern boy.
Well, he didn't. He's still there in Scottsdale.
Yeah, but he doesn't do the same job. He's a doll. He's a sweetheart.
I don't know if I'd call him cute, but...
Well, I would. I you know what? There are very few people. And Chris, I'll tell you what. I mean, Chris is...
He knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff. Yeah. What was your... Let me ask you, Marcia, what is your main concern? Is it just what you just didn't know what the next step is once it became
if
yours
it happens.
Or what?
Right. And I remember listening to you guys 2 years ago when you said both of us die, then the kids don't have to leave it in the IRA. They can take it.
Well, the kids can do whatever they want. If you name them as the direct beneficiary of your IRA... And then, unfortunately, God forbid, as you said, something happens to you, then they get to take the money out any way they want because they're the direct beneficiary. It'll be split in the number of beneficiaries there are, and they can do whatever they want with it. If you
yes, and that was news to me. I heard that 2-3 years ago, and I thought, I didn't know that.
So if you want to control it and make sure that they can't blow it, then you would want to do some advanced planning and actually use a trust as the beneficiary after you're gone and have somebody other than one of them as the trustee so that the trustee can either give it to him or not give it to him as the trustee's discretion based on what you've written down that you want to see happen.
Oh, yeah, I do know that. You know, they're all great girls.
Well, that's
good.
The
one is the trustee.
That's good.
Do you call them trustee?
Well, they're beneficiaries.
Or what's a trust?
The trustee is the person, if you have a trust, the trustee is the person that's in charge of managing and running the trust. And so it doesn't have to be a beneficiary. It can be somebody completely different.
I was thinking of a word that ended in tricks.
The executrix. That's more on the will side. That's for somebody who's helping the assets go through the probate process, the executrix, the executor of a will. It's similar, but it's using different documentation is all.
So, and then there's no trust, or can you just keep that same trust?
Well, you can have an executrix of your will and a trustee of your trust. They can be the same person. They can be different people. Usually it's the same person. And if you have a trust, you still have a will. So you can have them be coordinated with the same person being the executor and the trustee of the so they basically can do it nice and coordinated together. So this is all just estate planning and crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you must admit that was a pretty stupid question I have for you.
Oh, not at all.
No, hey, Marcia, listen, that's not let me tell you, very few people really know this stuff and pay attention to it. We know it because we work with it every day and we talk to people about it. But no, listen, that's not stupid at all. This is why we're here, okay?
Well, for 15, 17 years I've been listening to you guys.
Well, thank you very much.
Wow, that's a long. You've been with us since then.
How is Mr. Lucia?
He's doing just fine, having fun. He's playing in the band again.
That's right.
He got the band back together.
Hey, listen, Marcia, I got to take some more calls. If you have any other questions, please, you can hold on, and we can talk to you a little bit more off the air. We got some other folks on hold that we're going to get to. So hold on, and we'll be happy to explain anything at all that you want. Now, those are not, especially Professor Plum, when you get into estate planning questions.
There's lots going on, and the names get confusing. And so, executrix, executor, trustee, how do they go together? Do they go together? Are they the same person? Are they different jobs?
Yes. Now,
grantee.
Yeah, again, that's another topic that we try to cover on this program as often as we can. Her original question had to do with
happens if her husband passes away?
Right. Now, if I heard her correctly, he's 83, and I think she said she's 73.
Yes, she's in her
70 something. And so she's quite a bit younger. She didn't know what to do as far as if he died. Does she have to perform anything? Does the investments change? Does she all of a sudden have to be in charge of everything?
Well, yes, she will be in charge of everything unless something else has been done to take that away from her. But as long as she is the named beneficiary of his account, which is very common, it just comes to her. He will still have a required minimum distribution for the year he passes away. And so whether he passes away on January 2nd or December 31st, there's a required minimum distribution for that year. That's why I actually advocate, if possible, taking it earlier in the year to get it over with so that, unfortunately, if something does happen, the heirs can then just take the money and roll it into their own IRA or into a beneficiary IRA, depending upon spouse or non-spouse. Mm-hmm. And then they start their required minimum distribution the following year. And the same thing's going to happen with
Marcia. Now, Marcia would have a different, as you said, required minimum distribution, being quite a bit younger than, let's just say if it's 10 years or so, her required minimum distribution will be different. So once her starts, it's going to actually be lower.
Right, but if she's pulling X amount of dollars out of the portfolio right now to live
off of, she may want to keep doing it.
She'll probably keep taking that same amount of money out, maybe want to increase the amount of money coming out of the portfolio because one of the
Social Securities will go away. Yeah, exactly.
And so the amount of money coming out is probably already set up to satisfy the RMD. I know who set it up, so I know that was taken into consideration.
Absolutely it was. And we will vouch for Chris Lloyd. What a great guy. All right, we're going to stay in Phoenix. Carl, don't go away. Going to give you plenty of time to ask your question, and we will answer it as well just on the other side. Hang on just a couple of minutes here. 877-PLANNER, P PLANNER. Other folks on hold. We'll get to everybody when we come back. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Don't go away. Welcome back to the program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. We're here for you every day answering your phone calls. We will get to as many emails as we can and phone callers. Just give us a call right now because we still have three lines open. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Let's move next to Carl in Phoenix, Arizona, as promised. Hello, Carl.
Hi there. Easy question. I turned 70 and a half on November 5th. I have two brokerage accounts, IRA accounts, with two different brokerage houses.
Okay.
The first one tells me I need to pay $9,000 for minimum distribution based on the amount. I took out around $12,000 to pay for some expenses January, February. I'm assuming that money will apply to minimum distribution, or do I have to notify them some other way? No. Prior to taking it out.
When did you get the notice that $9,000 was your RMD?
Oh, about a month or so ago.
Okay, so your IRA is in the $300,000 range with them, not, you know, $900,000. Yeah, so that...
Correct, right.
The money you've already taken out this year is helping satisfy, has actually already satisfied the RMD from that account.
Okay, now the follow-up question is, I have an account with another brokerage house, and I'll need a little bit more, probably around $10,000, $11,000. Will the excess of that $12,000, can I apply to the second brokerage house?
Yeah, so let's say you have a $9,000 RMD from this account, and you have a $10,000 RMD from the other account. So combined, you have a $19,000 required minimum distribution for 2016. It doesn't matter which account the $19,000 comes from. You can take it in any amount you want from either one, as long as the combined distributions from the two accounts exceeds $19,000, meets or exceeds. So it doesn't. You can take all 19 from the current account you were talking about, not take anything the other, assuming they're both IRAs in your name.
Okay, and then the third question is, because I turned 70 and a half on November 5th, do I have to take all that money out this year, or I think I can let it ride into next year?
You do. This is your very first required minimum distribution.
Right.
And we're talking about the 2016 required minimum distribution. So you've already satisfied a good chunk of it by taking the 12 out earlier this year. Even though you took it out before you were 70 and a half, that doesn't matter. They go by the year you turned 70 and a half.
Okay.
So 2016 is the year. Your very first one, this year's, the 2016 RMD for you, can be postponed until April 1st of next year, anytime up until April 1st of next year. So if you had another $7,000-$8,000 to go and you didn't want to hit the taxes this year, you'd rather push the taxes into next year, you could take the remaining balance of your 2016 RMD out first quarter of next year. But then next year, remember, you still have a 2017 RMD that has to come out during 2017 to avoid the penalty.
Correct, yeah. So, yes. All right, so that takes care of it. I can mix and match the two different brokerage houses.
Yeah, as long as they're IRAs and they're both in your name, Carl, it doesn't matter. You could take as much as you want out of one, and it will satisfy all of your IRAs.
Yeah. Is there any legislation out there to sort of stop this required minimum distribution? Because I'm sure a lot of us don't want to take the money out, but I haven't really heard of anything.
The only thing I've heard of, and it hasn't really been gaining any traction lately, is postponing the required date to age 75. That has not gotten very far. We'll see if it ever comes around. It is what it is, and enjoy the money.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that are in the same boat, Carl. They say, I don't need this. I would prefer to allow this to just continue tax deferred. Now, the good news is that when you take a required minimum distribution, you don't have to, if you like the underlying securities in the IRA, you don't have to sell them out. So a lot of people, I think, believe you have to, which you don't.
Now, the other thing, Carl, that you might want to look at doing is because you don't like the RMD, is look at the tax bracket that you're in now. And if you have room in the current tax bracket over and above what the RMD is to take more money out and still pay the same tax bracket, it may be that you want to start doing conversions and move it over to Roth IRAs. Because if you're going to pay, if you're, let's say you're in the 25% tax bracket, and you're going to be in the 25% tax bracket for the rest of your life anyway, you may want to use that bracket and get the money over to a Roth IRA so that when you pass away and you leave it to your spouse, they're not going to have to pay taxes on it. Or maybe your kids.
Oh.
So we've
okay.
got maybe some.
I could still use Roth. Okay.
You can as long as it's over and above the RMD. So let's say as in our example, we were using a $19,000 required minimum distribution from your accounts. As long as the $19,000 in value comes out and stays in your personal name, if you wanted to take another $1 to $1 million or whatever dollars you want and move that excess money to a Roth IRA, that is totally legal. You just can't move the RMD portion to a Roth IRA.
Right. Gotcha. And then I would just pay capital gains and whatever I move.
You would pay ordinary income.
Yeah, it's ordinary income coming out of the IRAs. But yes,
All right, gentlemen. Thank you. That's something I'll look into.
Carl, thank you for the call. Hold on if you need some more help with this. We'll be happy to talk to you about it. Not that you would recommend anybody taking $1 million necessarily out of their IRAs and converting
maybe
it into
Romney.
A Roth. Well, okay, I suppose. But still, you know, even then, the tax considerations would be.
It's always there. You have to, and whether or not he wants to use that 25% bracket in my example depends kind of on who's going to pay it ultimately. If it's a surviving spouse, I probably would do it. If it's my kids and they're in a lower income tax bracket, maybe I wouldn't. I'd let them pay the tax at the 15% bracket rather than me paying at the 25, if that were the case.
We need to explain, too, Professor Plum, what you just said regarding above and beyond the required minimum distribution, putting that into the Roth. Let's say he wanted to put $20,000 into a, convert $20,000 into a Roth, get it into there somehow. And he's got a $20,000 required minimum distribution. What does he have to do?
Well, he has to take $39,000 out of his traditional IRA. 19 that goes into his personal account, whether it be brokerage or a bank account, whatever.
Just out of the IRA.
Has out to of be, IRAs, right. totally. Yeah. And then 20,000, if that's the number he wanted to convert, it goes to the Roth. It has to be an amount in excess of the Roth, RMD. And he said, and what we found out very early on this, too, was if I, he's already, let's say he hadn't taken anything out of his IRAs yet, and he's postponing the distribution for the RMD until next year, first quarter of next year. You can't do a conversion this year and then postpone the first required minimum distribution till the next quarter, till the first quarter of next year. They don't go for that.
So
they're not giving you one more year to do a big conversion.
So he couldn't do a $20,000 Roth conversion this year
and postpone the $19,000 RMD until next year. Because what they're going to do is they're going to say that first $19,000 that came out was RMD. Oh, you put it into a Roth? No. That's an excess contribution. We're going to penalize you 6% for that every year you leave it in there. So take it out. The money that comes out of the IRA is first going to be considered required minimum distribution.
Yeah. So that's true. Now they won't know this till after the year is over. So here's what has to happen. Let's say you do this and you take 20,000, let's call it 20, 20,000 out. You have a $20,000 required minimum distribution and you take 20 and you roll it into a Roth IRA. Now, so far you're okay. However,
if you don't do the required,
you must before the end of the year.
Before the end of the year, in this case.
Before the end of the year, you must take $20,000 and remove it from the IRA and put it into your into your taxable column.
You cannot do a conversion by itself in the year that you have a required minimum distribution. We're only talking about the first year of your required minimum
distribution. Yes, the rest of the time you have to do it that year.
You cannot do a Roth and postpone the RMD in the same year. It doesn't work. You have to do the RMD. If you do a Roth conversion in the first year of your required minimum distribution, you cannot convert or you cannot defer your RMD until the first quarter of next year.
They never really told us why you can't.
Us that any money coming out will first be considered RMD.
Right, but I'm saying why you can't take your required minimum
distribution.
Because
it's beneficial to us, John.
Well, yeah, that we know that's the real reason, but I just wonder what the political, what the ramifications would be.
Because that allows too much money to go into Roth IRAs to accumulate on a tax-deferred, tax-free basis.
Which is good for us. We can't have that.
Yes, that's what I said. It's beneficial to us.
Why don't they just come out and say that? Why don't they just come right out and say, Congress, just come right out and say it. Say, look, we don't like you guys, all right? We like you every 4 years. We tell you what you want to hear about every 4 years.
They're not telling me what I want to hear.
6 years if you're a senator, 2 years if you're a representative. But yes, Yes, well, we will tell you what you want to hear. We will pretend to like you. But listen, if you look at our legislation, we don't care about you. All right?
If we look at the way we run our offices, we don't care about the American public.
We don't care. Our whole point is to just get reelected so that we can, you know, have our nice lives and do what we want to do. See, I wouldn't like it, but at least the honesty might be appreciated. All right? And then we might actually get people in who would say, hey, why not allow them to take the required minimum distribution and convert it over to a Roth? It's beneficial. It could actually work. All right?
But that doesn't happen right now. Not in our world.
Right now. All right. 877-PLANNER. PLANNER. And Tim, okay, we got to take a break. So hold on, Tim. Tim in Las Vegas, Nevada. Stick around. We're going to get to your question here. When we come back, it'll just be a couple of moments. So you, too, must hang on. And we still have 2-3 lines open. We'll try to get to as many calls here as we can before the top of the hour. And that just got me riled up enough that I may not be able to read the trivia for today.
I'll do it for you.
No. We're going to take Tim's call and tell you what's coming up. 877-PLANNER. Our number, PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum here from Lucia Capital Group, talking strategy with you and more when we come back. We got some folks on hold. We're going to get to everybody here before the top of the hour, so do not go away. Emails, you can send them to us at our website, wealthed.com. All right, as promised, we've got Tim standing by in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, Tim.
How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. I've got probably a kind of an unusual question for you. About a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I had major surgery done. And after they ran the pathology, they put me on palliative care, and I'm classed as stage 4. So the prognosis isn't real great, but it's a slow-growing cancer. And statistically, the surgeons and doctors are telling me I got probably close to a year and a half, 2 years left to go here. No disappointments. I've had a great life. But I worry about my wife and survivor benefits. I'm 62 years old now, and I'm on disability, and I'm just wondering, you know, as this rolls forward, I'm trying to do estate planning and all of this, and wondering about Social Security, what should I be looking at doing as if things don't work out? And I'm very hopeful that, you know, with all the developments in cancer, this won't be an issue. But
right.
For the best, plan for the worst.
How old is your wife?
She's younger than me. She's 42.
Okay. Any kids, your dependents?
Yes.
How old are they?
Yeah. I have grown children from my first marriage. I have one in college now and a 12-year-old.
Okay, so the 12-year-old should be receiving a benefit now, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, is your wife working or is she a stay-at-home?
Well, she's in between careers. She was working more in the oil industry, and she's going to nursing now and probably has another couple years to finish that up.
So for now, she should be applying. For now, she should be applying for a benefit as well. She should be applying for a child and care benefit, and it will reduce your daughter's benefit slightly, but the overall increase will be more than what your daughter's receiving between the two of them. So that'll get some money going through here, and that's
okay.
While you're on disability, that'll work. Unfortunately, when you pass away, your daughter will continue to receive her benefit, and your wife will continue to receive a benefit until your daughter is 16. But once your daughter turns 16, she'll continue to get it until she's 18 or gets out of high school. But your wife will go through what's commonly referred to as a blackout period, where she's not eligible for Social Security until she's at least 60 years of age. And at 60 years of age, she would then become eligible for a widow's benefit. It would be a reduced number from what you are currently receiving. It would be roughly 70% of what you're receiving. So if she goes back to work and she's working, she may actually end up earning a benefit larger than what yours is, or... And then we can mix and match which benefit she takes. But if she wants to get the same dollar amount that you're currently receiving, she'll have to wait until she's 67 years of age, assuming they don't change the rules by then, to get the full benefit of the widow's benefit and be single, too.
Okay, but now I'm on disability, so I'm not receiving Social Security.
You're receiving Social Security disability, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So you are receiving your Social Security benefit. And so,
okay.
And so that's why your daughter is able to receive a benefit. You're receiving a Social Security benefit, whether it's a retirement benefit or a disability benefit. That's not the issue. It's the fact that it's one of those that means your daughter is eligible for a benefit. It also means that your wife, who is not working, who's caring for your daughter, will also be eligible for a benefit. And at least until age her the daughter turns 16, the daughter that will get it until she's 18 or out of high school. But then they both, your daughter won't be eligible for a benefit any longer than that, and your wife won't be eligible for a benefit until at least age 60. Then we have to look at, you know, if she does go into nursing and she does make money, then we just pick and choose which benefit's better for her at which time.
Okay. But all right, well, that's very helpful then.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, I'm sorry about that. If you want to hang on, we can give you maybe a little bit more strategies if you want. I got to get to one more call, but if you have some more questions or you need some more guidance on this, please hold on and we'll be happy to talk to you about this. It's an unfortunate situation, but
right.
Tim,
but he's
hoping
doing the right
for the
thing.
Best, but he's doing the right thing, and that's exactly what you have to do. So please, Tim, hold on, and good luck to you, my friend. Man, oh man. Okay, we got time. Ben is next in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Ben. Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, thanks. How can we help you today?
Well, I've had a few clients with the same concern that your client or your caller, Carl Phoenix, about how they can defer RMDs.
Right.
And recent legislation from the Treasury Department allows an IRA owner to defer 25% up to $125,000 of their IRA until age 85.
To a qualified longevity annuity contract, right.
Right, right. That's what I was wondering if he had discussed that.
I didn't discuss them because I think they stink. The qualified longevity annuity contract is designed to make sure that a person doesn't run out of money if they live too long. It takes money basically out of the IRA area and then says, we'll start a guaranteed income for you when you're 85 years old and we'll give it to you for as long as you live after that. But the ones that I've seen, I'm not going to say I've seen every one, but I've seen several, they basically pay nothing. They earn nothing. They don't do anything. And so there's really two types of people. A person that needs income and wants to make sure they don't run out of income, and that person's not worried about required minimum distributions because they're already taking distributions from their IRA and they're trying to find a way to guarantee that it lasts forever. And then there's a person who doesn't need income, and they're the ones that are worried about the RMD because they don't take any money from their IRAs. And so they're not going to run out of money. And they're worried about the RMD because they don't want the money. And so the contract is designed for somebody that is worried about running out of money and they're not worried about the RMD. And the rate of return is abysmal on these contracts that I've seen. In fact, it's not even a rate of return for most people. You don't even get your own money back. So if that's the case, the best way to reduce your RMD is to lose money. And I just don't go for that. That's my opinion.
Okay.
But that's why we didn't bring it up, Ben.
Yeah, I don't like them.
Yeah, we really don't care for them. We wouldn't necessarily recommend them. But I'm out of time for the hour, Ben. If you want to talk more about this, you can. If you want to hang on, I gotta end the hour for the news. Qualified longevity annuity contracts. I mean, there's really the people who they're supposed to help don't need them.
Right. The people. The whole idea of deferring the retirement income, guaranteeing that there's some retirement in the future. They're not worried about RMDs.
Now, you see, you got all riled up. I didn't get a chance to get myself all riled up on my issues, all right? Maybe tomorrow. If you need the brain trust or Professor Plum or any of the advisors from Lucia Capital Group off the air, you can get in touch with them at their off-air number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, Canada, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.